Hey, everybody, welcome back to Flock and Gather. I'm Alan Scher, I'm your host. You know I run the Spa Industry Association. Today is already September 4th, 2020. It's hard to believe. We keep talking about where 2020's gone, but I'm not gonna worry about it anymore. I have two very good friends. They've been in our business a long time. I love them both. We have Jennifer Thompson, who we're talking to in one of my favorite towns, Dallas, Texas today. Jennifer is the national and resort account level and way more than that for Anatomy. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm wonderful, Alan. Thank you so much. I'm so excited that you're doing these podcasts and I love the title.
Well, listen, we talk about this all the time, right? Our industry is flock and gather. It's what we do. And this is not in our nature for all of us to be outside of our headed to trade shows. When I think about the fact I've been home for 6 months without a trip, my wife Kathy said to me, she didn't think I'd been home 6 months without travel in the 34 years we've been together.
So yeah. Same thing my husband said. Right? I think he's ready for me to go again.
Yeah, here we are. It's just we go and we travel and we get started, right? And this is just the nature of the beast. Okay, I think we have Kate back with us. Kate, are you here? We didn't introduce you yet. Are you with
us? Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be part of this conspiracy here about retail and branding and spa talk.
I love it. We are a conspiracy of three anyways today. So for those of you who don't know, Kate Boyer, she's the CEO of Anatomy. They make the hippest, coolest, I have several pair in my closet, absolutely second skin, most comfortable clothing in the industry. So we're going to talk about that. But you guys know I always have some other subjects I like to address too. So in no random order, I know you guys are talking to a lot of people who have figured out how to get open during the coronavirus time here. Jennifer, any tips? Is any of your clients that you've been talking to saying, hey, this is really working well for us?
Most of it is they made a really conscientious effort to stay in touch with their customers. Even though they were closed, they just worked it. I mean, they wanted to make sure that they were healthy, they were doing well, to let them know that they were there and cared for them, offered curbside pickup. I mean, really made the relationships that they have built go a whole nother level further. And in turn, that's the same thing I tried to do as a consultant in the industry with my buyers, making sure that they were healthy and well is the same. And I think that's been more than just the business aspect, it's been really heartfelt to know that we do have more than just business, we have friendships.
Well, and that's the nature of we do business with our friends, right? I mean, that's the nature of this business. Have you talked to anyone who has figured out how to monetize I hate saying new normal, but I'm going to say it anyways, because you know, if you're only open 25 to 75% and you've got now additional costs, how are people trying to generate more revenue?
Smart question, Alan. That's the million-dollar question, right, to ask every property. What I know from numbers-wise, some of them are operating 20, 40% occupancy. The best ones I've heard, funny enough, in the Middle East, they're at 70, 80%. And remember, some of our properties have residents and members, and some of them moved in. So one interesting thing I've heard and how they're trying to generate revenue, instead of selling hotel rooms, for example, they were selling the villas and the houses and the residences for a longer period of time, right? So they actually had families moving in to some of these clubs and properties for a month, 2 months, 3 months, now that they're homeschooling the kids. So that has been one way. And I'm sure Jen will talk about the retail aspect of it and the treatments and how they spread their times, which I have seen on the field too. I started going out last month, kind of watching and seeing what's happening. I was at the Grove Park Inn last week in North Carolina, and they were 80%. The stores were open. They had a little like gate kind of thing in the front. So they were letting in one customer at a time, and everybody was just going to have to put up with it. If a lady is shopping, the next one has to wait her turn. But I thought that was a good way of controlling traffic.
Yeah,
they were still selling.
Yeah, that's interesting, Kate. We have a friend who runs a medical spa down in Houston, Texas. And I can tell you from the minute she reopened, she was book solid with her team. But they actually make you call. They keep the front door locked and they literally make you call from your car and they say, okay, you're up. It's your turn. Come on in. And they make sure then that that's how they're doing all the spacing. But this goes back to what before we started the podcast, I was talking to you guys about the conversation of outside the box, that there is no box, right? Everything is new. We all have to be, open thinking.
Yeah, they have to go with the flow, go get flexible, and every day adjust and change and learn. This is uncharted territory for all of us. And the companies that are willing and capable of gathering their teams around this new mindset will be very successful. And the others will plain and simple go out of business. You see it in our apparel industry, probably even stronger than anywhere else, because travel and apparel have been hit really hard, and I'm in the middle of it. So.
And look at, none of us are escaping it. This is just what it is right now. Although I have to tell you, both know that I moved to Arizona, and you wouldn't know that there's anything, I mean, aside from masks and everything else, which look, I'm not going to argue the science of it because I'm not a scientist. Frankly, I'm not sure the scientists know the answer, but I put on a mask when I go in a store. I don't even question it anymore. It just is what it is, whether you're going into Home Depot or you're picking food up. That being said, I see a lot of people who don't want to wear masks, and they probably have their own reasons for it, and we're not going to argue that. But Jennifer, I have my buddy Dave Tomlinson. He runs a company out of England called Absolute Aromas. They have an expression. He says it's called push against an open door. And I know from all the years you sold makeup, you did plenty of it, right? I mean, people say no to us. That's the locked door all the time. Mm-hmm. And you just keep pushing, don't you, till you hit the open door and then you walk through, right?
Absolutely. You've got to persevere. You really have to. And I have been fortunate to be able to host a couple of webinars with some organizations, like with WTS, and I did one with the CSFA, and talking to the spa directors of really engaging their staff to participate in retail with live streaming. So many of these properties have members, and they have locals. You know, they're doing that called staycation, where now they're really able to bring their locals into their facility. And we talked about, you know, having your esthetician or your front desk do some live streaming, put on some of the clothes, put a hat on, put some shoes on, do some fun live streaming and text it out to your customers, to your members. And they've been having a lot of fun with that. And I think that's been really positive from the mindset of everything that we're experiencing
too. You know, what you just said is so on task. In my update I get from Global Cosmetics, I don't know, every day or week, I lose track of what comes when, but they had an article a few days ago called Building a Cult Brand in a Pandemic-Stricken Influencer Economy. So that's a lot of word salad, but you know what it is? It's a gal talking about her products and putting it on her face in front of her camera while she live streams.
That is a lot of words.
Yeah, but exactly to what you just said, the nature of the beast is keep grinding, keep pushing, keep finding new things to do. And I'm going to use my favorite direct marketing adage, test, test, test again.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I've got a couple questions. Oh, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Well, I was just going to segue to that is, you know, because everyone's kind of getting cabin fever, even if it's not about business, you're finding that obviously we're doing a lot of Instagram and Facebook and personal posting in our lives. And so now we're seeing how we are really in our real lives. I'm seeing ton of photos with people with their dogs and their cats, you know, or out back, mowing the lawn. I mean, there's just, you know, out on the tennis court, like people just want to really share that they are still functioning and living and breathing, even though they feel like they've had cabin fever. Giving dogs ice cream. Have you noticed that? I've seen all kinds of crazy, you know, funny pictures like I've never seen before.
And nothing is crazy anymore. That's exactly the point, right? I mean, we accept this for normal. I talked to a big wig at a large company yesterday in a Zoom call, and he was in his t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops, you know, as he was. I mean, this is a guy who wears a suit every day of his life, right? So we just accept whatever it is as it is. But let me segue into a little pitch for anatomy, because you know the pants I have graciously gotten from you. I honestly, when I put them on, it's just, they're amazing. I can't say it anyway. I'm fumbling for words, but because I don't have enough adjectives, but the pants are amazing. In fact, the t-shirts I have that you guys did for one of the trade shows are still my single favorite t-shirt. So I know we love everything from anatomy, but I have a couple quick questions for you. So the first one is about a shift in clothing or clothes purchasing. Talk to me about what's going on in that regard.
Oh, great. I love that question. So there are some pivoting of the way consumers are looking to purchase clothes. One thing about consumers, they never want to stop buying. I mean, it's just the beauty of our economy, right? We always want to spend, even when we don't even have much money to spend. So what we're seeing is these new fashion vernaculars. And one of them is what they refer to as above the keyboard dressing.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, we're working from home, we're doing Zoom. And as you said, the gentleman in his flip-flops and his t-shirt that wore a suit all the time. So women are looking for fabrics that have a lot of versatility that they can wear with a Zoom, but at the same time, if they wanted to go outside, you know, would be able to adapt to the weather. If they came back inside, they'd still look professional. They wanted to sit on the floor. A lot of people walk around and with their laptops or their phones as they're doing a lot of these Zoom meetings. So that above the keyboard dressing, meaning just a little bit more polished above, and then comfort below. So that's where you're going to see them in the shorts or the athleisure pants or the yoga pants, in the flip-flops. So that's so we're seeing tops big time.
Jennifer, that's well said, because I have to tell you, I mean, I'm one, I get up, I work out every day, I get dressed, I go to my office, even though it's in my house, but I go to my office just like I was going to meet other people. And I think there's always a good remembrance there that you can be comfortable, but there has to be a certain modicum of business approach as you continue down this road in the pandemic, yes?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And well, with anatomy, because it's just, you know, the fabric is so wearable. You know, I know that's why you love it. And being in Arizona, in case you didn't know this, all the fabric offers an SPF of 50. So go out there and play golf in your anatomy shirt, and you'll be protected from the sun. Just don't forget to wear a hat.
I love it. Actually, do you know, well, I wear a short sleeve golf shirt, but I always pull on these, I don't know which brand I have, but they're golf sleeves. Maybe you've seen them. They have elastic at the top and the bottom, and they cover your arms up to under your short sleeve shirts, because as much as I like being outside, I mean, do we have to talk about the damage the direct sun does to your skin, or can we pass on that subject?
We can pass on that subject.
All right. Let me ask you something else. Maybe if we ever get Kate back, she might address this well, but can you talk about, well, how does brand relevance work? Why is one brand more important or less important to somebody in a consumer's eye, especially today, because we're all home. And now we just talked about this influencer building. So talk to me a little bit, if you can, about brand relevance, why it's important.
I could speak more specifically to anatomy, if I could, for a second, because—
Yeah, go ahead.
With this whole shift and this pivot, you know, our lifestyle has changed. So before we got up at 8 a.m. and we got in the car and we sat in traffic for an hour, and we sat in an office, and then you leave at 5 o'clock and you come back home. But now the whole lifestyle is staying at home the whole time. So a brand that has built their DNA about being a lifestyle may realize that it has to stay relevant because there's other brands trying to position themselves the same way. So before we were a brand that was designed to fly, eek, people aren't flying. You know, all of a sudden you have to sit back and say, oh my gosh, I've been building up a brand story for 15 years. How do I pivot that?
Right.
And what we really realize is that we're a lifestyle brand. So instead of them flying, they're getting in the car and they're driving up to the Hamptons. They're getting in the car and driving down to the beach, or they're getting in the car to go play golf. So we still are relevant. We just want to make sure that we communicate that through our portfolio, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or emails or website, that we can shift into whatever their lifestyle is happening for them. And I'm seeing that with shoe brands are doing that. Cosmetics, everyone's trying to shift and make that important.
Yeah, do you know that? And I love that conversation because look at, we brand, right? A rose. I mean, you still need people to understand what it is you're doing and why your brand is important to them. I just ordered some new golf shoes. Yes, I do it online. I've always worn Echo shoes. I know I can buy a 44 and they fit me perfect. And what did I do? I went online at Echo and I ordered the size 44 golf shoes because there's brand relevance to me. And I think something, we didn't talk about it, but it's also important. There's a historical love of things we're comfortable with. You know, like when I think about wearing anatomy pants, you know, if I needed another pair of black or gray pants, what am I going to do? I'm just going to buy another pair from Anatomy because I know they fit. I know how they feel. The brand means something to me as a consumer.
And I love Google because they have some really great analytics. I also picked up a shoe brand and I noticed that on Google, the consumer searching for a mule style shoe, that's a slip-on shoe, was 417% increase.
Oh,
so
I love it.
On the mule style shoe, which is a slip-on shoe. So then I did a little bit more research and I discovered with clothes, it's called the skort. So it's a skirt that's got shorts built into it.
Yep.
Had a 250% increase.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, like this is our lifestyle, right? We're looking for that comfort and that also looks professional as well, that we can multi-use it to fit our lifestyle.
All right, I'm going to add one more thing and then we'll close for the day. I'm glad you mentioned the mule because this goes exactly with it. I saw in Beauty Launchpad that the mullet, you know, the 1980s haircut called the, it's making a comeback.
Oh, that's scary.
People are starting to get their hair cut like it. Remember how many movies used to make fun of that and put people with mullets in it? And wait, and then it quotes Sam Villa. He's an artistic ambassador for Redken. He says, there's a new kind of mullet now that they're calling the mullet, M-U-L-L-A-Y, which is shorter on the top and sides with a longer back. So we have the mule, the mullet, and the mullet. How's that for a closer?
That is a great closer.
Okay, listen, I know Kate is sorry, people, you didn't get to hear more from Kate Boyer, but she's in the back of the warehouse getting a package shipped for someone, and that's more important. Jennifer Thompson, I always love talking to you. I love playing golf and smoking cigars with your husband. You know that.
Yes.
And
we miss you.
Good. Well, I know we're all going to be doing it again sometime. And I'd like to sign off, as I always do, by reminding everyone, please be kind. It's already a tough world out there, so be kind to everybody. Have a great day. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hello, friends. Thanks again for joining us for another Flock and Gather podcast. Thank you for our special guests at Anatomy. Anatomy. Explore Anatomy's range of wrinkle-free luxury travel clothes for women and wander the world in comfort while looking stylish and chic no matter the season. Visit them at anatomy.com, A-N-A-T-O-M-I-E.com. Thanks again, friends. See you next time.